Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Steve Williamson here.
Mike Cosentino is over here on Democratic Perspective. Yes, sir. We got a good one. We got a live one from Phoenix. We don't get many from the Capitol.
We have a state senator.
We do.
Katie Hobbs, and she's the minority leader of the Democrats in the state Senate. She was in the House before that. You've been in the legislature a long time, right?
Seven years.
And before that, you were a social worker?
Yep.
How did you go from social work, which tends to be personal, one-on-one, mm-hmm. kind of trying to help people, to deciding that you wanted to work on a much broader base?
Well, what I started realizing with all the clients I was working with is that they continued to bump up against systemic barriers. And I was working specifically with domestic violence victims and had the opportunity to start addressing some public policy issues at the legislature. And so kind of working on legislation from the outside in, domestic violence issues are not partisan issues, but it was really frustrating to try to make policymakers understand why some of these changes were needed. And so then at the same time, someone connected me with a training that trains Democratic women to run for office and sort of flipped all the switches. And I was like, hey, I could run for office and try to change it from the inside. So that's so
it's really hard for Democrats to understand why somebody would resist domestic violence mm-hmm. help. I mean, you know, that this is part of the crazy that you work with every mm-hmm. day in the Arizona legislature. Yeah, and yet you've mentioned, it's no secret. You just made a speech to a group here at
Democrats
at
the
Red
Rocks,
and that you describe some of the, to be kind, difficulties mm-hmm. working in the state. You know, we don't want to get too far into this, so we're going to put you on hold for a second. And say she's running for Secretary of State.
Right.
And we kind of want to put that at the top of the show. So that's kind of, Katie didn't just come up to visit us. She didn't come up to see your beautiful flowing gray hair. She came up because she's running for Secretary of State.
But I think it's important to understand, you know, what drove you to run mm-hmm. for public office, whether sure. it's run for the state Senate, the state House, or for Secretary of State. Most folks out there look at American politics as being an awful damn mess
mm-hmm.
and something that you want to avoid, and yet you've engaged. You went straight at it. Once you decided to start running, you started mm-hmm. running, you started winning.
Yeah, I haven't lost an election, so let's keep that straight. It is frustrating being in the minority and trying to make change. We have done some good things. When former Governor Brewer championed Medicaid expansion, the Democrats were able to get behind her and help push that over the finish line, and that gave health care to hundreds of thousands of Arizonans.
Very important.
It's one of the great things that the legislature and the former governor did do was expand Medicaid. And it really has helped, I think, actually saved lives.
Oh, yeah.
Literally saved lives.
Yes.
So it's frustrating. You're in the minority, mm-hmm. and I know that the legislature, maybe you folks don't, is just really majority versus minority uh-huh. here, and the majority tries to cut the minority out of everything mm-hmm. as completely as absolutely possible. And I think one of the things I was interested in, you were talking about earlier in your early work in the state Senate, was the attempts by the majority of the legislature to limit initiatives and mm-hmm. petitions and
yeah.
stuff. And basically people's right, which is really built into the whole Arizona gestalt, right?
Sure
right?
Is.
From
yeah.
2000,
yeah.
I mean, from 1908?
This is an assault on, as far as I'm concerned, on the Arizona citizenship, on the Arizona Constitution. This is an assault. This is a Republican assault, I mm-hmm. have to add. On everything that we hold dear as when it comes to free and fair elections and the voice of the people as this Republican legislature mounts this campaign against initiatives and referendums.
Tell us
first
a little
of all,
bit about the details.
Go ahead.
And you, at your talk, you defined the difference between a referendum and an initiative, which, of course, Mike and I have forgotten the difference. No, I had, but he had.
Speak for yourself, young man.
Sure. So, first of all, believe it or not, Arizona has its roots as a state in progressivism. And our Constitution was built on these really progressive ideas, like recall of judges, citizens' ability to do both referendum and initiative. And we had those in our state constitution, and the federal government wasn't okay with that. So we took it out, and then as soon as we became a state, put it back in. So those have been a part of our the fabric of our state since statehood, and just really important for citizens to be able to engage in the political process. So the difference between referendum and initiative, the legislature passes a law and citizens don't like it, and they decide they don't like it enough that they want to try to repeal it. That's a referendum. You have 90 days between the end of session and the general effective date of legislation to collect 75,000 plus signatures to get that on the ballot. And if that's successful, it stops the law until the next election and voters can vote whether they want to enact it or not. Initiative is the legislature fails to pass a law that the citizens want, and so that they can organize and get enough signatures to just put something on the ballot to vote on. And, you know, there's been several years of legislative attacks on initiative. For example, Arizona passed medical marijuana at the ballot twice. The legislature repealed it twice. And since then, we got a voter initiative called the Voter Protection Act, or Prop 105, if you hear Prop 105. And that requires the legislature to not only have a 3/4 majority to change an initiative, but it also has to further the purpose. So it can't take the initiative backwards. And so, because the legislature continuously tries to attack initiative process. So this year we saw the latest round of those attacks, just making it much, much harder for citizens groups to get an initiative on the ballot, because increasing the number of signatures required and increasing the cost of getting those signatures.
I think it's a perfect example of how much outside influence, as I know, bothers you and you want to talk about.
Yeah.
We have in Arizona, because as Koch brothers' money flows in, as California, other money flows in the state, they find, gee, they can buy a state senator's office pretty cheap. Other states don't have this initiative process. Mm-hmm. Other states don't have this type of referendum process.
Give us an example of a referendum now active or just finished up in one of an initiative, so people know exactly what we're talking about and how important these issues are.
Right. So the most recent example of a successful referendum that we've seen in our state was after the 2013 session. The legislature enacted a pretty substantial kind of voting omnibus bill that made all these election changes, and they were all pretty bad. They made it harder for candidates to get on the ballot. You know, there was several other, they made it so that you couldn't collect other people's ballots and turn them into elections. So a bunch of different groups got together and successfully collected enough signatures to put that on the ballot. Subsequently, in the 2014 session, the legislature went back and repealed that law, and since then has passed almost every single piece of it individually as individual laws. Kind of a slap in the face at voters. And then this session, we saw the massive expansion of vouchers, which is public school dollars going to private schools. And this year, Senate Bill 1431 expanded access to those vouchers to every student in the state. And so there was a referendum drive. They successfully exceeded everybody's expectations and turned in excess of 111,000 signatures to refer that to the ballot. And they're facing huge legal hurdles in terms of the challenges that are coming at them. You know, the deep pockets of the Koch brothers and the special interests that want the vouchers are, you know.
So they got the foot in the door and mm-hmm. they expanded. I think Mike would really upset about this. They expanded the voucher mm-hmm. program on and on. It started out as a small program. And just it kept expanding. And now pretty much everybody's eligible for it. It's not based on need or, and it takes money directly from the public schools.
Yes.
Right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you're talking about Mike being upset. I've been on this microphone for a few years now, railing against vouchers, only because I don't, you can have all the private schools you want. You can have all the charter schools you want. But I'm not sure that gutting public education is the way to have charter schools and private schools. And as Katie is going to tell us in a second here, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. It's that you're taking money from one pot and giving it, which seems really unconstitutional, giving it to religious schools and private schools and schools that have, sure, parents can make a choice. You can send your kid to any school you like. If you want to send them to the hydrangea school of cultivation, you can do that. We can grow corn better here. But the idea is that you don't take away from my public school. And so that, you know, the science classes and all it's just the way it is. It's a small pie, or at least it's not a big enough pie. You know, one of the things that always amazes me, and this is a little bit off our outline here, but we run the whole state of Arizona on, what, $9.5 billion?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's amazing. I tell people that from other states, and they say, what? I mean, they think, you know, like small towns in Kansas are run on $9 billion. There's families that spend more than $9 billion a year.
So how do we know that these voucher-based schools are teaching a reasonable curriculum? How much supervision is there?
Oh, we don't. Private schools have absolutely zero accountability to the taxpayers. They're not responsible for maintaining state standards or meeting teacher qualification levels that are required of public schools. So now we're sending public school dollars to these private schools with no accountability at all.
And that's the problem. And I asked... Yeah. And I asked the meeting, the very definition of corruption, which certainly has been said on this show before, but we will say again that there are legislators that make money directly and indirectly from the voucher charter school movement. And
so you talked about vouchers. You also talked about STUs.
STOs.
STOs. STOs.
Yeah.
Okay. So, correct my observation here.
Yeah, so the STOs are student tuition organizations. So these are organizations set up to provide scholarships for students in private schools. So, you know, if there's a Catholic school tuition organization, there's a Jewish school tuition organization, there's a Christian school tuition organization. So we set up these tax credits for these STOs a long time ago, way before we started with the vouchers. And so it allows people to personally contribute to these STOs and then take a dollar for dollar tax credit. So it's not directly taking public school dollars and giving them to private schools, but it takes money out of the general fund because it's money that we're not collecting in taxes. There's personally you can give to that, but also corporations can. And the caps for corporations are allowed to increase at 20% every single year. And the legislator who really pushed this legislation to begin with is the head of the largest student tuition organization in the state. And so every time those caps are increased or we expand the ability to give to these or to get these tax credits, he's personally enriched by that.
You know, and this is old news. I saw the reporter at the meeting. He didn't even write this down because everybody knows this.
Right.
We got to say it over and over and over.
Yeah.
I think we're talking to Katie Hobbs, state senator from downtown Phoenix. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, where both my kids live and represented and well represented they are.
Did
by the way,
did they vote for her?
They did, actually. We talked about we talk politics in my family, so we want to talk about your campaign, and we can talk legislature all day, and we can come back to it as much as we want in the next 45 minutes. But you're running for Secretary of State. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So this is a statewide office. This is in the political world, we separate the kind of office you hold now, that you represent a district, and a statewide office, and the Secretary of State is a statewide office, you know, and this is, as a Democrat, our record hasn't been too good in the last couple elections.
Okay.
How are you going to win? How are you going to do this?
Right, and we haven't Democrats haven't won a statewide office for 10 years by the time this election rolls around. So we are going to change that, and here's how. There is, I think, tremendous opportunity in this election. There's a lot of energy and momentum to turn Arizona blue. But I think there's particular opportunity with this office because of the mistakes that the incumbent has made while she's been in office. Yeah. So there's, and that is borne out in a recent poll that has her at 17% approval, which is abysmal. And so that, that's not just the Democrats that don't like her. That is bipartisan disapproval of her performance.
So we're talking about incompetence as well as political disagreement.
Oh, absolutely.
What has she done that's incompetent?
Do we have a few hours? I'll give you some of the highlights. So presidential preference election last March in Maricopa County and other counties around the state, it was not limited to just Maricopa. People waited in line for 5 hours to vote. This is a ballot with one person on, or, you know, one office on it, just the president. The problem was the number of polling places, and her office approved the polling places. So that is bottom line, her mistake. She, in the subsequent election failed to send out over 200,000, statutorily required voter pamphlets. These are required by statute. There's still an open case against her about this. She, completely acted like nothing was wrong until it was going to become public, and then blamed the vendor. So she makes these mistakes and then doesn't take responsibility to try to fix the mistakes. There's been website after website after website failure. She has spent $500,000 for this Follow the Money website, which is supposed to allow people to track money in politics. I'm not a web developer, but $500,000 is a lot of money. And I think there should be some product, you know, as a result of that. And so that's a failure. She has unveiled numerous websites or website changes without testing them first. And so they don't work. Right now, Clean Elections candidates can collect $5 qualifying contributions online. But the system is not working all the time. And it's hard for candidates, but it's really confusing for voters who try to participate. So it's just, you know, a record of incompetence and mismanagement.
Well, certainly, Michelle Reagan hasn't had any lack of criticism regarding her competence and the way the office has been run. And so, in a way, she's an easy target because there's just so much. But it's still, there still has to be, I don't know, whatever voodoo Democrats going to need to get over the top here.
Well, I don't disagree with you there. And I think, again, in terms of the opportunity for this office, if it was only Democrats that were upset with her, not as big of a deal. But I have talked to people on both sides of the aisle, and there is bipartisan disgust with the incompetence in the office. And not just the incompetence. And I'll tell you this. Incompetence is a problem because the Secretary of State is the highest election official in the state. And incompetence in that office.
In other words, her job encompasses elections.
Yeah, it undermines the public's confidence in our elections.
Right.
And that undermines the very core of our democracy. It keeps people from participating in the process.
Who is next in line for the governor if the governor resigns or leaves?
And Secretary of State. And it's been a while since we've had a governor fulfill, their full time in office. And so the thought of the incompetence that we're seeing in this office moving to the governor's office should be scary for all Arizonans.
Yeah.
This is not political incompetence. This is not motivated by politics. This is just administrative incompetence,
basically.
It's apolitical.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest problems is that she got rid of a lot of the career professionals who knew what they were doing and understood all of the intricacies of administering elections, and brought in a bunch of political allies. So they're running the office in a more political manner. This should be the most apolitical office that we have.
That's right.
It's
the highest integrity and competent.
Yeah. Yep.
So how's your campaign shaping up?
Well, we hit the ground running. It's really early. I'm focusing on getting around the state and talking to folks. And we've made it pretty far around the state. So I'm getting lots of support around the state. And then our other focus right now is just raising money so that we have the resources we need to run the campaign we need to win.
So what about running as traditional rather than clean election?
Yes.
Tell folks just briefly what the difference is. We just kind of a thing, Mike, to remind folks the difference. Katie's actually has to raise money, mm-hmm. more than for like $5 that we give yeah. candidates.
And you're going to tell us how right after that, right?
Yeah. Okay. So, so again, back to the progressive initiative process that we have in Arizona. Voters passed the Clean Elections Commission, which is a public campaign financing system, and in theory gets the money out of politics. It's a great idea. The problem is that the courts have taken a lot of teeth out of the system, and so there's really, in terms of a race like this, we are going to be up against all of the dark money that the current secretary has been able to come into our state, and the clean elections is not going to give me enough resources to do that. So we have to raise a lot of money, and so that we can be competitive. And if you're interested in supporting, you can go to my website, katiehobbs.org, KATIEHOBBS.org. We're well on track, and so I think we'll be able to be competitive in the race.
So the problem with clean elections is that it just doesn't provide, with all this dark money,
yeah.
if they're running traditional mm-hmm. and you're running clean, you're just not going to have any place close to the amount of money they have with
right.
all these court
changes. Right. And so when clean elections was passed or enacted in 1998, it had a matching funds provision. So if I was running against somebody who's running traditionally and I'm running clean, up to a certain amount, I could get matched dollars. But the courts struck that down as unconstitutional. So that's not available anymore. And so we just know we won't have the dollars to compete with the amount of money that you get from clean elections.
To be clear, the Republicans went after it
yeah.
for years, and yeah. they finally found a way to at least to damage clean elections because they don't want clean elections, and which should bother voters, mm-hmm. actually.
They don't want initiatives and referendums.
And the list of things, the name of the show is Democratic Perspective. We don't fool around here. This is a partisan show.
Yeah.
We don't pretend to be on both sides of anything. And so, as you run down the list, they gutted clean elections. Mm-hmm. They're battling citizen initiatives, mm-hmm. which is one of the sweeter things about living in Arizona politically. They battle referendums. They're into voter suppression. We got the current Secretary of State agreeing with turning, well, at least in spirit anyway, whether she has yet, you're going to tell me, turning over voter information, Arizona voter information, to the federal government, to Donald Trump's whacked out fraud voter thing.
It's one of the most, the phoniest. Trump's commission on voters is one of the phoniest commissions I've ever seen in my life. If you look at the background on these people, I'm sure you can tell us. It's just astonishing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it was put in place simply to validate Trump's false claim that 3 to 5 million Americans voted illegally in the last election. So, so we know at its core, the commission is set up to prop up a lie and to suppress voters, to take people off the voting rolls. And so Michelle Reagan's position on this has been, kind of which way the wind blows. And she's trying to play both sides. She first said that she would comply with the request for data. And then after we pushed really hard, she did a 180 and said, no, I'm not going to give the data. Then the request came again. I think maybe they said, please this time or something.
Or so, threatened her.
Yeah.
That's what he does best.
So the problem is the data is a problem, and we should not turn over the data to the feds. The feds do not have any business playing this role in an election. It is a state function, and they need to leave it to the states to maintain the integrity of their data. Furthermore,
their motivations are not exactly pure.
No, here's the thing. If the Russians are hacking our elections, which I think there's no disagreement, unless you're Donald Trump, that they are, why do we want to put all the country's voter data in one place? I mean, that is just crazy. But the problem for me about how the secretary is handling this is that she is failing to acknowledge that the commission doesn't need to exist in the first place. And she actually yesterday on KJAZ, you know, said, oh, no, their work is important. It is not. It is propping up a lie that the president has told.
So, Katie, we're talking to Katie Hobbs, state senator from Arizona. We want to, if Reagan, the current secretary of state, is susceptible, if those people that, rather than calling your county recorder and asking to be removed from the voting rolls because you don't want your info to go to the, call the secretary of state's office and say, hey, don't turn over our information. Mm-hmm. Don't comply with this bogus voter fraud commission.
My guess is the reason that she's flip-flopping, she knows that Arizonans are not going to like this.
Yeah,
this is
her political party.
Yeah.
They're not
going to
like the idea.
Yeah.
And that's
why
she goes back and forth and back and forth.
I mean, I think her initial change of heart was because it wasn't because Democrats were calling her. It was because enough of her Republican base said, you know, this is not a good idea.
Speaking of which, how's Katie Hobbs going to do with Republicans?
Well, you know, I've been talking to folks on both sides of the aisle. I think my reputation, at least in the Capitol community, is that I'm someone who's thoughtful and has integrity, and I'm not a super partisan person, and I have respect on both sides of the aisle.
That's great.
Republicans I've talked to are supporting me, not just because, you know, the current secretary is incompetent, but they support me. And so, and I think, you know, that is translating down to regular voters. So
sitting around these microphones, the three flavors in Arizona come up, the Republican, Democrat, and everybody's talking about how to win an independent vote. Is there a different strategy now for you running for the statewide office? Is there a different strategy in trying to get the quote unquote Arizona independent vote, which I'm going to guess is different than other states' independent votes?
Look, my main message in my campaign is that the Secretary of State should be a platform that ensures that everybody can participate in the democratic process.
Good.
That is my message, and that is not, to me, a democratic, Republican, or independent message. I'm not giving different messages to different audiences.
Okay.
I want everyone to be able to participate, and you know, there are overt ways that we haven't talked about yet that Michelle Reagan is keeping people from participating, and then there's her incompetence. And so, you know, I want to go in there and change those things.
Go ahead. Tell us an overt way.
Yeah. So, well, I guess we did talk already about the commission. I think that her, if she participates in that with the data,
we've
talked about how that people are calling up and asking to be removed from the voter rolls.
Right.
And it just is a way that the Trump administration can try to remove people. But the other thing is just, you know, she created this idea, and I'm using air quotes, of ballot harvesting, is not a thing. And there's no fraud that's been proven or even reported related to folks collecting ballots and turning them in. It's a way to get out the vote.
Yeah.
And her office, this started when she was in the Senate, but ended as with her secretary. And they stood on the Senate floor and made up stories about people taking ballots and steaming them open in the microwave. By the way, news reporters have tried to do this, and you can't do it. And then, you know,
well,
not,
that doesn't matter. That's a
right.
fact.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now it's a felony for anyone to turn in somebody's ballot that's not their own to election officials.
So you couldn't take your grandmother's ballot in for or drop it in a mailbox?
I mean, I think there are some exceptions for family members and people that need assistance, but in general, it was a way that we worked to get out the vote. And we increased voter turnout by collecting ballots. Now, if fraud is really a concern, there's ways to address that. I proposed an amendment to the bill that would have allowed a little affidavit box on the envelope. So if you gave me your ballot, you could sign it over to me and there's a trail there. But it's not about fraud. They just want less people to vote. And, you know, so the side of personal responsibility, okay, everybody has a mailbox, you just mail your ballot back. What's wrong with that? Why is that so hard? You know what? On the reservation, they don't have mailboxes. They can't just walk to the end of their driveway and drop their ballot in the mailbox. So it is voter disenfranchisement. And she's been the champion of that.
So let me ask you, and Mike's usually the mean one, let me ask you a mean question. List the top two incompetent statewide officials.
Well, I would say Secretary Reagan and Diane Douglas.
There you go.
Who's number one and who's number two?
And
I'm joking, but, I mean, it really is astonishing that the two of them did get elected.
And Diane Douglas is State Superintendent of Public Instruction.
And I guess she's worse. I don't know. But it's not even right or left. I mean, it really is just electing incompetent people because...
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, Republicans just vote for them because they got an R after their name.
Yeah.
They don't look at who the candidate is.
I mean, Diane Douglas didn't even run a campaign, but I think the biggest concern with her is that she's not an educator. Why do we have someone running our public school system that is not an educator? And also, and that's not a requirement. I think the mine inspector has to have some mine experience, and the attorney general has to be an attorney. Otherwise, there's not... qualifications spelled out in the Constitution.
There's almost no qualification for public office
in
Arizona. The one that has a very, Katie just mentioned, is mine inspector. You have to be a mining engineer to run for mine inspector, and most people don't even know there's an elected job of mine inspector.
I don't even know why that's still elected. I mean, it should,
This is Arizona.
It should be an appointed office. Well, and for a lot of states, public instruction is an appointed office.
Yeah.
That might be a piece of legislation to work on before you leave is maybe we could get some educational requirement for the state superintendent of public instruction. If nothing else, it's a good campaign move that this guy over here on the microphone is saying, propose a law for requirement, an educational requirement for state superintendent of public instruction. And it won't go anywhere, but at least you'll get some coverage from those guys that I had to wake up at the reporters at the table that we were at.
You seem to like campaigning, and I think that's a really difficult thing because there's so many extraordinarily competent people out there who just won't go through the campaign process, who don't really like talking to people, but certainly don't like asking people for money to support
them. How long were you with Emerge?
So I went through the very first class in Arizona. Did we already tell folks what Emerge is? They train Democratic women to run for office. So I went through the very first class in Arizona. And then I was on the board. So 2005 until 2013. And then I was the executive director 2013 until last July.
A great and important organization, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It really takes, people, normal, concerned individuals and makes the whole process of running for office way more doable and not quite so scary. I do want to mention here before we run out of time that we want to thank our friends from Democrats of the Red Rocks for the support of Democratic Perspective. We want to thank our friend Steve Segner and all those wonderful folks over at El Portal for supporting this show and our Saturday show at 12:15. This show will be rebroadcast at 12:15 on Saturday afternoons, as it will.
So, do you find it energizing to run, or is it tiring at this stage? It's an early stage.
Yeah,
right?
I'm having a blast. I'm getting all over Arizona. I'm a native, but there's parts of Arizona I'm ashamed to admit I haven't seen. But I'm having a great time, and I could talk to people for hours. So,
how important is the Navajo Reservation for a statewide office like Secretary of State?
Oh, certainly very important. I mean, and Ann Kirkpatrick, she had a really good operation there and kind of showed us how to get out the vote there. And
Yeah, well, there's the traditional Democratic strongholds, if there is any, Tucson and maybe a three-block area in Flagstaff.
And three blocks in Sedona.
And three blocks.
Six blocks in Sedona.
Yeah, exactly.
But a smaller population.
Exactly.
So where's the fight? I guess I don't want to talk too much about the technical part of the of the campaign. Where's the real battle for votes going to be? Or are you working in the rural areas like we're in? Are you concentrating on Maricopa? Or?
No, I'm certainly not intending to write off any part of the state. And I think that, David Garcia, who should be our superintendent of public instruction, would tell you that that was one mistake he made in the 2014 election. So I'm certainly not intending to make that same mistake. The population centers in Maricopa County, the majority of the votes are there, but that certainly does not mean that any statewide candidate should spend all their time in Maricopa County.
The other David Garcia information I'm going to use this morning is that one of the things that he said when we had him on the show here a few weeks ago was, and it was a fascinating observation, and that was until late in the election, that when others saw that he was going to win, money came flowing in.
Yeah.
I guess it would behoove, and it certainly changed his whole attitude. Mm-hmm. And now in his run for governor, he ran for state superintendent, had that experience, noticed this. So we're sort of discussing here with Katie Hobbs and her run for secretary of state that whatever you have to do to convince folks that you can make it, that you can do this. And I think, there's certainly something about Katie Hobbs and her demeanor that says, yeah, well, okay, I got this, no problem. I'm going to be Secretary of State. So that, I mean, you're already halfway there, but certainly that's, I guess, you know, I'm giving you on-air advice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, certainly this is a winnable race. And Secretary of State is a critically important office in terms of, you know, reshaping our policies in Arizona. There are only 13 Democratic secretaries of state in the country, and Republicans have made a concerted effort to take those offices. So we need to take them back. So it's winnable, it's critical, and you know, I've never lost an election, and it's not because I sit at home and watch TV. I work my butt off, and I'm doing that now, and I wouldn't be asking people to support me and to invest their time and dollars in me if I wasn't willing to put in the work that it takes to win this race.
Excellent. So what happens after, where are you going from Sedona here? What's next?
I'm
going to watch television?
No, I'm actually going to a birthday party, but it's a family birthday party. I get to see my son who started college today.
Oh,
so,
how exciting.
Yeah.
Yes. Where?
At ASU. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, very good. Very good. Back down the valley.
Yep.
So what would you say, again, just for folks to repeat, what are the important issues that you see in the Secretary of State's race versus your program, your ideas, and your background versus Michelle Reagan?
Sure. I mean, honestly, I don't know what her professional background is before the legislature. But for me, you know, the important thing is having a commitment to making sure that voters can participate. And so I have a ton of ideas about that in addition to restoring competence and integrity and transparency to the office.
Just having enough voter polls.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so there's ideas like automatic voter registration, which we possibly will see a ballot initiative this next election. All vote by mail. There's been states that have done that, and in some cases turns out more voters. But even just increasing voter education, I think there's this idea that voting's really easy. You just check a box on your ballot, and it's not. There's all kinds of barriers and complications. We wouldn't be in the mess we're in if there weren't. I think bottom line, the management in the office is one of the most critical things.
One of the things that my co-host and everybody else either praises or gets mad at me for, one of the I'm going to take us in a different direction. One of the remarks you get from people from other countries about the American ballots, if you go to Argentina, you go to Brazil, they have the candidate's photo on the ballot. And in the United States, this extremely technical country. They are amazed that they have so little information. Now, you put out voter pamphlets with all kinds of information, and as often as not, there is at least an attempt to have a photograph there. But they're talking about on the ballot. Yeah. They might have 10, 15 people running for the same office.
Yeah.
So a photograph. Could we get pictures on the ballot?
Well, and I support that idea in concept. What I know from being in the legislature and hearing from county recorders is that ballots are very expensive, and they don't have enough resources, and there are constant attempts.
Yeah, I'm sorry, pay for it.
I know. And so if we can get the Republicans who are in charge to give more money for elections, we could do it. I think right now it would be, you know, giving another mandate to an already strapped office.
All right. Well, okay. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. That,
what I would add, Mike, is that the real scandal in the United States is the lack of participation in voting and the barriers to voting and the complications of voting. And people like, for example, our representative Bob Thorpe, who wants to keep college kids from being able to vote in his district. I mean, it seems to me we should have a system that designed to encourage everybody to vote. You're a citizen, you get to vote, you're encouraged to vote. Instead, we have a system where people are systematically trying to come up with reasons to keep people to vote and make it difficult. And so Secretary of State is an important job in Arizona.
Well, that's it. That when you look at, and as people do, that when people get turned off to politics and, like, politics and turned off to all of this, is the representatives don't represent them. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons is because they don't. A few people vote. Certainly, Yavapai County does as well as anyone in the 60%, you know, and above category. But nationwide and in places like Maricopa County, it's in the low 50s and the high 40s. And that's absurd. You know, we have half of the people or less than half of the people at deciding who represents us.
Well, I see, Mike, and why I really support Katie is that I see this instead of a whole system to get people voting and get people involved, I see a sort of semi-hidden structure to keep people from voting, keep people getting involved, and keep them turned off to politics.
Oh, for sure.
So they won't listen to you or anybody, no matter how good you are.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'll tell you, one of the functions of kind of dark money in politics, they throw all the dirt, and those just as much as anything else keep people from showing up to vote, because they just get tired of the mudslinging and they're like, oh, I'm just not going to participate.
Do you think you could be successful with automatic voter registration? Do you think you could? I think people want it like 70% or 80%.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think it's a great idea, and if it drives up participation, I'm all for it. I think I've heard talk about it being on the ballot, so I think there's folks that are interested in running an initiative to do that. I don't think it'll pass at the legislature.
Yeah.
But
we're talking with Katie Hobbs, and why don't, before we wrap up the show, why don't you tell us again about how to, people who want to contribute to your campaign, people who want to sign petitions, how they can do that?
Sure. So anyone can sign petitions electronically on the Secretary of State's website. Just go on there, azsos.gov, and look for Equal. But then for my campaign, you can go to my website. It's katiehobbs.org, and that's KATIEHOBBS. You can donate there, you can learn more about me, and you can contact me. So
that's,
I'd love to hear from you.
You can go to her wonderful Wikipedia bio and find out everything you ever wanted to know.
Well, we're running out of time, Mike.
Don't forget that we have lots of shows coming up on Democratic Perspective. We got the River Show coming up next month. We're going to talk a little more about truth in politics. We got Specs coming back, the philosophy exchange people, and we have
media Steve, and ethics too.
Media and ethics.
Media and ethics. What more topic could we have?
Yeah, that's like I don't know, military intelligence. Some people think it's a contradiction in terms. We want to make sure that that folks can find our show. We got our podcast at vvid.org. Vvid.org has this show and all our shows of Democratic Perspective of the last few years, some great ones. We tune in to Steve Nuño next week as our guest.
Okay.
And whenever he's going to be on, we got the timing maybe a little off. And so BVID.org, please find our podcast there. Please listen to our show on Saturday, 12:15. And every Monday at 8:15. And look for Steve Segner and his group over at El Portal. You can come over and give us all kinds of harassment.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news and our Saturday replay after the noon news right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.